For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:5-14. Good morning, friends. I count it a privilege to be coming your way once again by means of radio. I believe there's a desire in every true child of God to be spiritual. But really, what does spiritual mean anyway? That is a good question. What does it mean? It is one of those terms which we use often without pausing to define it. Could it be because it is so difficult to define? Spiritual means that which is not physical or material. It also means the good is distinguished from the carnal and evil. But it is impossible to define spiritual without reference to either the material or the evil. It is equally impossible to define material or evil without reference to the spiritual. It follows then that one of the most important questions anyone their various muck heaps and declare that the spiritual is nonsense. But friends, this is not true. Spirituality does have its place, and a life without spiritual understanding is one void of the greatest values in this world. On the other hand, to have a profession of religion, however fine and high, and fail to gear it into practical living is worth very little. The sensible view then is that it is not a question of either or, but of both. Such was the belief and teaching of Jesus. He made his teaching practical by putting the material into the spiritual. He preached, then fed the congregation with bread and fish. He instructed his disciples in celestial affairs, and then told them where to cast their nets when they were having no success in fishing. To try to be spiritual without any relationship to material things is like having faith without works. Listen to this scripture from James. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James 2:14-20. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Who would not wish to cultivate a garden like that? Being led by the Spirit of God like this will cause one to convert his material things into spiritual assets to be used to the glory of God. This is also true of time and talent. All will be surrendered into the hands of God, and that person who is filled with spirituality will be led by the Spirit. One of the characteristics of a spiritual person is their faithfulness in prayer. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint, Luke 18:1. And in the book of Ephesians 6:18, we find these words, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In this modern world of ours, some people are skeptical about the whole business of prayer. Perhaps there are some arguments against spending time in prayer, but there is also much that can be said for prayer. So much so that from the ignorant savage to the enlightened saint, men have kept on praying from the beginning. There were some great men in the world who practiced prayer, such as Washington and Lincoln. And Jesus often arose early in the morning, went out to some solitary mountain to pray. To those who object to praying because they don't understand how it works, let me say this. Do you understand how the sounds from a voice can be picked up, amplified, superimposed upon radio waves, and flung to the far corners of the earth? They travel through the Arctic, tropical, and temperate zones, and across the vast spaces of the ocean. Yet, they find their goal behind the Iron Curtain, and they enter through the locked doors into the homes of those who have their sets tuned to the proper frequency. There are many who are unaware of all that is going on because they do not have their sets tuned in. So it is with the power of God. Many are missing the blessings God has for them simply because they are not in tune with Him. And now this poem, I am glad that thou art near me. Glad, dear Lord, that thou dost hear me. Thou dost hear me when I pray, when my heart is sad and weary and the road seems rough and dreary. Then thy love thou dost display. I am glad thou art beside me, for I know whate'er betide me, thou my helper e'er wilt be. Though my friends on earth forsake me, yet I'll rest in thee unshaken till thy loving face I see. I am glad that thou dost love me, that thy loving eyes above me guard my footsteps night and day. By thy grace I'll follow ever. I will turn aside, no, never, never from the narrow way. I am glad thou dost supply me. No good thing dost thou deny me. While I lean on thee for aid, yes, thy riches no man knoweth, thy great storehouse o'erfloweth, and my Lord the price has paid. Lord, thy way has satisfied me, and no matter what betide me, to thy precious cross I'll cling. Though a battle may be waging, though the powers of hell be raging, yet thy praises I will sing. Let us pray. Our Father, bless the word to the good of every listener. Help us to have the mind of the Spirit that we may be transformed into thine own image. Remember the request for prayer of those who have written. The needs of thy people are many. Deal in kindness and mercy with those who are lost, and bring them to thine own self before it is too late. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many thanks to those who have taken the time to write and let us know you enjoy the broadcast. We are trusting the Lord to keep His word going forth. And if you would like to have a part in this ministry, pray for us and let us hear from you. Address your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Here is a song, When I'm Alone. The singers are Manuel and Marie Mitchell, their daughter Charlene, and Cynthia LeCroft.
When I'm alone, that's when I like to kneel and pray. When I'm alone, I feel so close to God that way. Just to hold His hand in mine and to know that He is real. When I'm alone, I'm with my God. I'm with my Jesus every moment. Command forever I'll obey. Just to touch His nail-scarred hand and to know He understands when I'm alone. ask our hand, and to know he understands when I'm alone, I'm with my God.
Now, just before I leave the air, let me leave this final thought with you. Millions of people call themselves Christians and think themselves on the road to heaven when they're not, but are deceived. For they've never been born again, and Jesus himself declares, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How important then that real salvation be held before all men, so that they may know to meet Bible conditions and receive a real conversion, this birth of the Spirit, which brings everlasting life, happiness, and joy. What a shame, what a lasting disgrace to the fair name of Christianity that multitudes of sin-loving people should claim to be Christians simply because they've merely joined some human church or because they were in infancy subjected to a ceremonial rite called baptism. Yet this is a sad fact. May God help to undeceive these blinded multitudes who are lost and are rushing onward to an everlasting eternity without God. I pray God to awaken them before it is too late. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.